Well, good morning.
Good morning and happy Easter.
I know we were supposed to be streaming this on Easter morning, but we had to pre-record it. The streaming is just quite not where it's supposed to be yet. But, you know, so we pre-recorded. Some of you are watching this on Zoom. Some of you are watching it, you know, right on YouTube. But we will have a great Easter service, regardless of the fact that we could not do the streaming today. So we're going to start off with Pamela. I want you to do the daily word. Let's just turn this on. Okay.
Good morning again. This is the daily word reading for Sunday, April 12th, Easter Sunday, 2020. The key word is Easter. I recognize the risen Christ in family, friends, and my spiritual community. Early in the evening on the day of resurrection, Jesus, unrecognized, joins two of his followers as they journey from Jerusalem toward the nearby village of Emmaus. Accepting an invitation to stay and share a meal, Jesus takes bread, blesses and breaks it, then gives it to his hosts. In that moment, their eyes were opened. They recognized Jesus, and alive in their hearts, he vanishes from their sight. Later, the two explain to others how the risen Christ became a living presence to them in the fellowship of breaking bread. Easter celebrates the risen Christ, an immortal presence freed from all limitation, awaiting discovery in every person and life event. I recognize the risen Christ in shared experiences with family, friends, and my spiritual community. And Luke 24:31 reads, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight."
Thank you, hon. So, today is Easter. And it's a very different kind of Easter. You know, there's none of that scrambling, trying to buy, you know, new Easter suit, Easter bonnets, Easter clothing. All of that commercialization process just came to a halt in terms of how we used to, you know, celebrating Easter. I know we have a lot of people over. We usually have, you know, 30 or more people over for Easter or these big holidays, but it just won't be happening today. And just amazing how you're watching all the news people and everybody sort of doing their jobs from home. So we're in a very, very different kind of a world, and I'm going to kind of integrate that into this talk about Easter today. You know, the whole idea in Psalm 46:10, "Be still," has become our new reality. You know, we hear so much about that particular verse, "Be still," but I think at this particular time in our lives and what's happening, we're understanding it more and more. And this other saying that we've got going on, you know, I can't wait for things to get back to the way they were. We're going to talk a lot about that. You know, it's very likely that that's not going to happen. Things are not going to go back to the way they were. And we've been hearing even on the news, you know, the news people are saying things like calling it the new normal. You know, we have to get used to the new normal. So there's a slogan out there that's kind of attesting to the fact that things are going to be different even when this so-called coronavirus is over. You know, and with the world we're going through, the change is going to be, you know, I think significant. But change, transformation, and regeneration is sort of the dominant theme of Easter. That being the willingness to let go of the old so you can embrace the new phase of living. You know, the affirmation in the Lenten booklet, this one right here for Easter, yesterday on Saturday, it said, "I feast on renewal." So the affirmation, "I feast on renewal," is a personal acknowledgement of the willingness to let go of the old so you can embrace the new and whatever it is that's coming. And of course, this takes faith, you know, because of the fact that we don't really know what's coming. So you have to have faith that whatever is coming, you're going to be able to develop whatever consciousness is needed to embrace it. And the problem right now for us is that we could only visualize what we have known, so the visions in our mind we're clinging to is to get back to what we're, you know, what we've known. And I'm not sure that that is what's going to happen. But, you know, in Romans 12, 2, and again, verses, these are all Bible verses I'm going to use that you're familiar with. But the thing is, they have a new application because of what we're going through. So this particular verse in Romans 12, 2 says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God and what is good, acceptable, and perfect." So this idea about not so being so conformed to how things were, that it's going to cause us a lot of angst as the new begins to unfold. And that renewing of our mind has to do with moving from an intellectual, ego, personal perspective of yourself and the world that you're in, to a spiritual, introspective, heartfelt perspective of yourself and your relationship to the world. And introspection requires time for silence, time to stop doing and spend more time being in the silence. And this is what we have been consciously and unconsciously neglecting, which is why it's so interesting that now we find ourselves being ordered to stay in the house. And, you know, staying in the house a lot of times just causes us to be still. And so in Mark 6:31, we read Jesus gave us an invitation. He said, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And again, these are Bible verses we're used to. But, you know, we would say things, "Well, Jesus, I don't have time to rest. I got things to do." Right. And now those things to do have been taken away from us, and we've been put in a situation where we need to come away for a while and rest. And we all know and probably love these Bible verses, but the very nature of our lives prevented us from accepting the invitation that we read in Scripture to come away for a while and be still. So when you hear yourself asking, "Why is this worldwide pandemic going on?" the answer may be that the soul of every human being on this planet knew it was time to be still, but just didn't have the methodology or the willingness to make it happen. I mean, how many times in your own life when you said to yourself, "I'm just going too much. I need to just kind of settle down." But the things that draw us to keep going seem to keep pulling at us, and we just can't seem to become still. Again, yesterday's Lenten booklet expresses the concept of introspection and being still in a way that we can use as a guide in our struggle to make sense of how we should be and what we should be contemplating right now. And this is what it says. It says, "I am in God's waiting room where transformation begins." I love that. "I am in God's waiting room where transformation begins. Every part of my being has surrendered to the Christ within. I have crossed out all error, thoughts. My soul gently waits in the stillness of my being. The old is gone. The new is yet to come. It is with steadfast faith that I rest, knowing my spirit is being renewed through the power of prayer and my spiritual practices. I affirm my oneness with God. I've done my work. I wait patiently and faithfully in the silence." That's really powerful. And again, if you had the Fasting and Feasting booklet, you can read that in there on Saturday, yesterday. So if you're wondering, what am I supposed to be doing during this time that I'm in God's waiting room? The answer is in these five practices, which I found when I was doing research for this lesson. And these are the five practices of what you could be doing during this time. Number one, practice forgiveness and letting go. All right. We're going to find ourselves having to let go of a lot of our old habits and stuff as it is. So that just be in the stillness and practice this idea of forgiveness and letting go. Number two, practice honesty and being open. Number three, surrender your need to be in control. And this is what's so powerful. The most powerful countries on the planet, including our own, seem to have no power over this thing that we're fighting. So it's sort of like surrender your need to be in control. Enjoy silence within yourself. And fifth is practice gratitude. So these are the practices that we see in the life of Jesus and other great masters, Buddha and others, have had these same practices. And we know from our studies in the past few weeks that Jesus was calling his disciples into his life, each representing a spiritual power he was working on to quicken within himself. So to quicken means to vitalize, to excite, to stimulate, to make alive. And for the past few weeks, we've been studying each of these powers in terms of how we can quicken these same powers within ourselves to enrich our lives spiritually. So at this point in the study, we're making the assumption that Jesus was able to quicken each of these spiritual powers within himself, except one. And that power is life, represented by the disciple Judas. And Jesus obviously knew that the power of, knew about the power of life, because he had demonstrated many times, you know, raising folks from, people from the dead. It was recorded in John 11, 25 and 26 that he proclaimed the power of life at the grave of Nazareth when he said to his sister, to Lazarus' sister Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." So Jesus is not so much talking about physical death here, rather he's referring to the dying of the old self and being resurrected into a new self, a new consciousness in Christ. And we know this idea, you know, Paul talks about it all the time, I die daily, okay? And not that he's physically dying, but his whole consciousness, the old thought process is dying and moving away to make room for the new. And Jesus knew what he had accomplished by bringing Lazarus back to dead from the dead. He knew that when he accomplished that, what he was seeking for his own life was different from what he did with Lazarus. The raising of Lazarus was not a spiritual renewal or transformation. It was not a resurrection. Rather, the raising of Lazarus was a resuscitation. Now, if you heard me talk before about resurrection and resuscitation, but we're going to put a different spin on it because of what we're going through. And yes, we have heard this, but the key is, how do I apply this idea to this experience that we're having together? So to resuscitate a person means to restore that person to what he or she was originally. And in this case, it means that he was for Lazarus before he died. So he just came back the same, basically the same person. For example, in this situation that's being caused by the coronavirus, all the things that we're going through, the things that the whole world is experiencing, is not just in a country, but the entire world is experiencing this together. What we're hoping for, praying for in reality, is really a resuscitation and not a resurrection. Okay? Meaning we're praying for the day when things go back to the way they were. That's what we're always saying. I wish things were back to the way we were. Even I find myself thinking, you know, with this same idea of wishing that things could go back to the way they were. So Pam and I could go back on vacations like we love to do and things like that. None of those things are possible right now. And so we have this mindset of wanting to do that. But all we're saying about our lives and the economy has to do with resuscitating back to the way they were, which negates the fact that there could be something higher and better coming of you know, dealing with a higher consciousness, but all we can see is what we know. So the problem, though, is even like things like this happen, you know, the real change requires a resurrection, not a resuscitation. So it's not for us to come out of this and go back to the way we were. It's how can we spend this time in the silence, learning more about our deeper selves, our more spiritual selves. And when this begins to lighten up, we can come back from a much higher perspective. And it seems to me that because this is happening now, during this particular time on the planet, it says that we are the people who are capable of a higher level of consciousness. Think about that, okay? It's happening now because we are the people who are capable of a higher level of consciousness. And Jesus knew that what he was to experience in his final step to complete glorification was not to die and then be restored to who he was. He was to die completely to who and what he was, to allow himself to be transformed into the full expression of the living Christ. But without having gone through the transformation experience of the crucifixion resurrection, there was possibly a lack of complete comprehension, thus a lack of complete quickening of the power of life within him. And we know from the Garden of Gethsemane experience that Jesus agonized over this final step. He hesitated, maybe even procrastinated over the final step. We knew that there was a lot of agony that he went through in that Garden of Gethsemane experience. So whether we see the act of Judas as being good or not good, in the grand scheme of things of what Jesus needed to accomplish, it was Judas's job to help Jesus complete the final step of his transformation from the personal self to the Christ self. Judas was Jesus's catalyst for change. Okay? So what we have to wonder when we're facing our own catalyst for change, is the coronavirus crying out from our souls to slow down from the constant grind of trying to earn a living, to take some time to rest in the renewal of the regenerative life for the purpose of restoring our souls to its original state of being. Now, yes, what's happening now is creating a whole lot of chaos. People are struggling. It's not easy out there right now, by no means. But history has shown that chaos is the typical mechanism needed to get our attention. Otherwise, we hear things that are good, we say, well, that's nice, and we go on about our business. But this is not allowing us to go on about our business. And again, it's not localized, it's global. So there must be a need globally for us to settle down and look at life from a different perspective. And we've talked a lot about, you know, things in the lessons that led up to this, but in final analysis, one thing is paramount for every one of us to understand is that our greatest joy in life will come from realizing that regardless of the circumstances or accomplishments or accumulations in our life, in our original state, we are perfect, whole, wonderful spiritual beings trying to negotiate our way through this human experience. And as Jesus expressed in his teachings, once we realize this basic truth, happy, healthy, prosperous circumstances will become a natural outpouring of our activities. Once we realize that we are healthy, you know, spiritual beings, then all the things we want in life will just become part of how we live. And again, we've quoted this so many times, but this is what it's getting to, this idea, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. We've heard this, but we have not been able to implement it. Now that the thing that keeps us so busy has been taken away from us, we have time now for introspection and trying to understand a greater aspect of our inner self. So in truth, the spiritual gifts from God that we've been studying in the past 10 weeks represent the powers of our mind, body, and spirit that are required to remain spiritually mindful in the midst of chaos. So I always say that we have been preparing for what we're going through now, right? We use the term sometimes prayed up. Not just that we are just in prayer, but we're in prayer and contemplation, trying to develop a mindset that can stay focused on spirit when chaos hits us. And so we've been preparing for this. When you're spiritually mindful, you can remain focused on the Holy Spirit and the attributes of the Holy Spirit, regardless of the circumstances surrounding you that have the potential to disrupt your peace. Now, again, the Holy Spirit is the love of Jehovah taking care of the whole human family, whether we are aware of it or not. Okay? And that is what we want to focus on during this challenge, the love of God taking care of the whole human family, whether we're aware of it or not. And the way these powers work is, for example, if the power of faith is quickened within you, you would remain faith-filled regardless of what was happening around you. If the power of love was quickened within you, you would remain loving and forgiving regardless of what was happening around you. And so on with each one of these spiritual powers, these gifts that have been embedded in our subconscious realm of mind. So this is not something we need to get. Is something we need to quicken or awaken within us. And at this point in Jesus' life, he had integrated into his mind, his body, his personality, his whole being, all of those particular powers, those 12 powers. Well, he had integrated all of them except one, and that's life, represented by Judas. So his soul created for him an experiential scenario that would allow him to complete his spiritual transformation. This is what Jesus referred to as the Son of Man must be lifted up to the Son of God. That's what he was talking about when he said that. So this experience came along so that he could really demonstrate for us what this process of crucifixion, resurrection was really all about. Crucifixion of the old to make room for resurrection of the new. And so it is with each one of us. We are here to bring about a transformation within our own heart, soul, and mind. Each experience that we encounter has embedded within it the opportunity for us to take significant gains towards quickening another one of our spiritual powers. So something is occurring in our lives, especially this that's going on now. You need to say to yourself, which one of these powers do I need to get me through this? I think we all think, we realize we need faith, right? But each one of us will be reaching for one of those powers that we need to help us get through this. And if you're kind of new to this series, you can go back and you can see on YouTube the previous ones, powers that we talked about. So the greatest challenge for most of us is up to this point in our lives, we were not even aware of the true purpose of the people and circumstances in our lives. Stuff happens, but we didn't really understand totally why those things were happening. And I've talked about this many times before. So the purpose of the spiritual journey is to learn how to decrease the dominance of the ego self and increase the power and presence of our spiritual self. Whereas our ego self is often fear motivated, our Christ self is faith motivated. So right now, if we are feeling fear, let me just acknowledge that that's natural, okay? It is natural to feel that fear. But what I want you to understand is as we spend more time in introspection, contemplation of these divine and spiritual ideas and principles we're learning and practice the principles that we're learning, it helps us to move a little bit away from that fearful self to more of that Christ self. That self is more embracing faith than it does fear. So when we operate from fear, we often miss the purpose of the people and circumstances of our lives. So if we're operating from fear right now, we can't see why this is happening now. We can't understand it. We miss the opportunity for transformative spiritual growth when we find ourselves constantly in fear. And I'm not, please help me understand, I am not negating the fact that the things that are going on right now are scary. All right, they are. Okay. And Jesus was conscious enough to also know that where his spiritual quest needed help, he knew that he needed help. And he knew that Judas was the one who was destined to help him through this final stage that he was going through to reach the mind of Christ, okay? Judas was not the bad guy as he is portrayed to be. He had a job to do, even though it seemed he did not understand his role in the transformative process that Jesus was going through. And I think all of us have people in our lives who we have labeled Judas, the bad guy, people who have had the job to help us to move along our spiritual path, but we didn't understand that because we didn't understand that the encounters that we have in life, every one of them has something to do with spiritual awakening. Because we didn't understand that, we hold these unforgiving thoughts when quite possibly this person could have been the one to help us make a big spiritual leap, just like Judas helped Jesus to make a big spiritual leap. So we see further evidence of the role of Judas in Jesus's spiritual journey when the Jews came and arrested Jesus. And Judas kissed him, identifying Jesus as the one that the soldiers should seize. And Jesus said to Judas, "Friend, do what you came for." And the dictionary defines friend as a person with whom you are allied in a struggle or cause, a comrade who will help you through a difficult time. And Jesus called Judas friend, because he knew he needed Judas. Jesus knew he needed Judas to help him through this process. And one of the greatest spiritual lessons taught us in this concept is to be non-resistant, to stop resisting the process. And that's what we do. And we're not really resisting the process consciously all the time. It's just sort of the fact that we've been so busy, our minds are so, you know, multitasking is a thing that people brag about now, but we've been so busy that we haven't recognized the fact that some of the things that are happening in our lives are there to help us to grow spiritually. But now that we have that time. So Jesus healed, you know, when they came to get Jesus, the crowd, you know, Peter drew his sword and he cut off the ear, the right ear of the servant of the high priest. Well, Jesus healed that ear and he said to Peter, put your sword back in its place. Do you not think that I could call my father and he would at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? In other words, Jesus is saying, if I wanted to avoid this step in my evolutionary process, I could do it easily. But he said, how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen this way? Now, when he said the scriptures are, you know, be fulfilled, it's not necessarily just because it's written in scripture. It is sort of written in our souls that we are here to discover and remember who we really are. So that scripture is for every one of us, that it must happen in a certain way for each one of us individually. Because it doesn't happen the same way for, even with what's going on, this crisis going on right now, no two people are experiencing it in the exact same way, because we all have different perceptions. So, but it's here for all of us to have the opportunity to have a higher response to it. So Jesus knew he had to embody the last of the 12 powers in order to become the fully evolved Christ. He demonstrated a step-by-step process. Peter, faith; John, love. You know, he went through the process of quickening all those powers within himself. And this is a very important point for each one of us to grasp, which is, can help impact our own spiritual journey. If you believe Jesus came here complete, then with no spiritual work needed, then it makes it very difficult for you or I to think about how could we become like Jesus, all right? But you have to understand that Jesus was in process. If you read some of the earliest stories, his mother knew more about Jesus' journey than Jesus did himself, okay? Because Mary herself was a highly evolved person. So Jesus was in process, and that gives us a greater sense of our own spiritual journey. However, to even begin the journey consciously, we must develop the same mindset, the same dedication, the same commitment that Jesus had, the same discipline towards spiritual transformation that he had. We can't do this haphazardly. It's got to be a process that we pay close attention to. So as Paul expressed in 1 Corinthians 9:24, we must go into spiritual training. And before, we had all these excuses about, well, I don't have time for spiritual training. Well, now we've got time, okay? And this is how Paul explains it. He says, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it for a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a person running aimlessly. I do not fight like a person fighting the air. No, I train my mind and my body to make them obedient so that after I have preached to others, I myself would not be disqualified from the prize. And that's powerful. That's not just me, you know, preaching to you and saying, I have to follow these, which is I do. But it's saying you as well, every one of us, you know, we will go out and preach in our own way and then end up doing those things which we told others not to do. So, you know, Paul has said, no, I train my mind, my body to make them obedient so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. So it is for us also to go into strict training, especially in this time of great change and personal challenge. Not to win a material prize that we'll soon tire of, but to win the awareness that we also have within us the potential of the protection, the comfort, and the guidance of spirit. We train to gain the consciousness of the Christ. We train to gain the consciousness of the Christ so that we can affirm with confidence, I feast on the renewal of regenerative life. And Holy Spirit, I am ready for a resurrection. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
I chose a healing meditation for this Easter day. As we all are looking forward to the complete healing of our planet and everyone on it. So let's begin by taking in a deep breath and allow your mind and body to relax. Just breathe and center yourself in the healing presence that is enfolding you now. Feel this loving presence of God as your body is infused with healing energy. The radiant power of love is yours in this and in every moment. You are whole and holy and ready to allow your body to heal in mighty ways. The perfect life of God is flowing through your body right now, doing its work, cleansing, purifying, and healing anything that needs to be healed. Every atom of your body is an expression of pure spirit and contains wholeness and harmony. Feel it, know it, and claim it now. Breathe and relax into the knowing that you are never alone. Feel a steady stream of energy, that strengthening power that flows through you now. You, dear one, are an expression of the divine presence of life itself. And now we'll take a few moments in the silence. We do thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've heard our prayers and you've answered them as you always do. So now, with me, take a nice deep breath and feel the comfort and ease of your mind, your body, and your spirit as you come back into your blessed Easter day. Now open your eyes slowly. Amen, and so it is.
Thank you, Helen.
You're welcome.
So, we hope you enjoyed that Easter service. We are going to do what we normally do at this time, is take up our blessing and say our offering blessing together. So we ask you to take that offering in your hand or in your mind. We know some of you give automatically through automatic giving. That really is helpful at this particular time. You can also do it through PayPal. You can do it by sending a check to the office. But you know, we really appreciate the offerings that we have been receiving, which have been really great, and hope to continue to receive. So let's hold that offering in our mind, and we say together, we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. So this service will be continued on Zoom. Some people are actually watching it on Zoom right now. If you do not know about that, you can go to the weekly update that Patty's been sending out, or the e-newsletter that April's been sending out. You'll see the link to Zoom. We're going to have a little bit of Easter music. We're going to see, I don't know if, remember, you usually have the flower service where you can pick up, put the flower in the thing and pick up an affirmation. Of course, we can't do that now, but we will have rolling affirmations that were done for us by Kim Rush Lynch, and we really appreciate her doing that. And so, you know, join us for that. And other than that, we say Happy Easter, if this is all we're going to see of you. Otherwise, we will see you on Zoom. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.